You are listening to Information and Inspiration with Jen Julius, helping you take control of your own life by finding clarity, improving your communication, and building confidence to achieve your goals. For more information about me and my guest, you can go to jenjulius.com and check out the On the Radio tab. Today, I have Mr. Matt Savinar on my show, the founder of North Bay Astrology and Hexagon Magazine, and we will be discussing why astrology, an interview with a lawyer-turned-astrologer about the relevance of astrology in today's tumultuous times. I came up with that title all on my own.
You know what's amazing?
Are you proud of me?
I am, but you know what's amazing is you sound so nice and sweet, and usually with me, you are nice and sweet.
I am.
But with me, you have we know each other well enough that you can take certain liberties verbally. There's more verbal combat. Put it this way, there was verbal combat going on.
So for anyone listening to the recording, let me just be clear. Matt and I go way back. So there might be a little bit more persnippity-snippity on the show than normal. But we're still going to bring you a lot of good information and content.
I know that. Jen wants me to succeed, and I want her to succeed too. So at the end of the day, that's what counts.
We just have a hard time together because I'm a lot of fire and he's a lot of whiny baby cancer. Right?
I'm emotionally intelligent cancer, and you're a hard-charging Aries.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, Linda Goodman in her book, if you go read the Aries cancer chapter, mm-hmm. it says, she's got it. You've seen Linda Goodman's books.
Yes. Right?
But I know at the end she says, cause Aries is ruled by Mars, cancer is ruled by the moon. Something about like, well, they can go to Mars or the moon together, or like they'll shoot for Mars, but they'll crash at the moon or something.
Yeah, that sounds like us.
The point is, there's a lot of combustion with that.
A lot of combustion.
Combustion with the Cancer Aries square.
Well, I'm excited for our interview today because I think that you've got some really exciting stuff going on, and I'm really excited to have you on my show to talk about it, partially because I've been adopting astrology more into my business too a little bit, just from a really basic level of understanding, helping people understand, you know, the new moon or the full moon or Mercury being retrograde. So I'm excited to have you on to talk a little bit about just astrology and what's it about, besides just the thing that you have in the newspaper that you try and read, and you're probably reading wrong, by the way.
Right.
We'll touch on that. So can you go ahead and actually start off by telling us a little bit about just where you came from and, you know, what got you into astrology?
Well, I...
Because I did say lawyer turned astrologer, so I know people are curious about
that.
So
what happened back in 2003, I took the bar exam, and I passed. But see, out here in California, it takes 4 months to find out if you're going to pass or not. You find out, at least this is how it was back in 2003, you find out the weekend of Thanksgiving on the computer. So right as all your like relatives or family stuff, right? You find it anyways. So I was waiting to find that out, and I was temping, and I started reading about what the real reasons for the war in Iraq were, you know, because obviously it wasn't about weapons of mass destruction or getting Iraqi women the right to vote or whatever, all the different stuff that we were told, right? It had a lot to do with the fact that the world's supply of easily accessible oil has reached a zenith.
I want to pause because I think a lot of people that have not heard Matt's show before are probably already getting confused. And we're going to touch more on this about what the concepts in the magazine are too. But Matt's definitely very passionate about sharing the other side of the story, which we're going to talk more in depth about towards the end of the interview. So as he's talking about these things, I just want you to keep in mind that we will explain more of what he's talking about later on in the show.
I'm a very different guest from what Jen has. It's a little different.
Not necessarily. I think that we just are going to touch on some topics that people don't normally hear about.
So anyway, so what happened, I put up a site explaining why I felt we were in Iraq. It had a lot to do with this concept called peak oil. It was in 2003, and I put it up just because I wanted to find other people who felt the same way. This is in December 2003. Next thing I know, the thing goes viral. I was down at a job interview down in L.A. at San Bernardino, actually. Come back, had 100,000 visits 2 days in a row.
Wow.
And so from there, it went viral. Ended up being read into the Congressional Record. This congressman read the whole thing word for word into, not the whole thing, but most of it. And he showed it to Bush.
Wow.
I was in Fortune magazine. A lot of stuff that I don't talk about too much because people wouldn't believe me unless I show them like the paper
or
whatever.
Sure.
But anyway, so that went on for 10 years. And the site was, you know, I had a store and I had ads and, you know, I had news updates I did every day. So this was like an entire you know, one person news organization sort of. Not quite, but something like that. Mm-hmm. Sort of like if you know who Matt Drudge is.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, it'd be like a much more niche version of Matt Drudge, like Matt Drudge, but like 0.1% as big as he is. Cause Matt Drudge is a huge, you know, person. He was a person who broke the Clinton, Lewinsky thing back in the '90s. That was how he got famous. Anyways. So that went on for 10 years. And then during that time, I was into astrology. I was always reading about it, started writing articles about it. And, so just got more serious and, Then I came here, had this show. What else? And now I'm here with you.
So why did you turn away? Why did you decide not to practice law?
Well, that site got so popular so fast, and it was about what I felt was and still is maybe one of the two most important issues of our time, which is climate change and the fact we're running out of easily accessible energy sources. And why are we in Iraq at that time? I don't know if people recall, but it seemed totally insane to haul off to war in Iraq. Well, the information that was not being discussed in the news is that what the map that the Bush administration was reading from was that all the other accessible patches of oil have been exhausted. What's left is either in Iraq or it needs to be drilled 7 miles below the ocean, which is why they're drilling like out in the Gulf of Mexico, why they're fracking, because all the stuff that's easy to get is gone. So that was the real reason I think we were in Iraq. And so to me, that site seemed a lot more important than practicing law. And I figured out how to make money from it, too, because I had ads. This is right when Google started. You could do AdWords and you could put up Amazon ads and stuff like that. And I had enough traffic that I could actually make a decent amount from the ads, enough to support myself. So that went on for 10 years. And actually for a while, before Google started doing what's called personalized search. Now, like the search that you get, if you were to Google oil or I was to Google oil, we'd get different results. For any topic, you could Google. If you Googled astrology and I Google astrology, we'll get totally different results.
Really?
Yeah. You have to actually go in and turn off personalized search. But before they started doing personalized search, for about 5 years, anytime you Googled oil, my site came up at the very top.
Wow.
Yeah. So that went on for 10 years. Now, this was very, very stressful. So eventually I had to quit because I was just completely exhausted. And that was when I started writing, getting more attention for my astrology articles.
So you just naturally got into astrology. No one turned you on to it specifically or?
I don't remember specific. I mean, there was like some blogs that I had started reading. I was like, oh, wow, this is really compelling. And
okay.
And
you started to research it more self-taught?
Yeah, definitely self-taught. I have probably like 300 or 400 astrology books.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then so what happened, if people like go to my, if they were to go to, I'm not trying to promote my site or whatever, but I write in a way it makes it very, very easy to understand. And I use really lucid, clear examples. So
NorthBayAstrology.com is where you can find out more information about Matt and see what he's talking about.
So where that comes from is when you're an attorney, what you have to do is synthesize lots of complex information into a way that a regular person can digest. Mm-hmm. This is why if like you have a trial, you don't just let the expert just start talking, the expert that, you know, because that will just confuse the jury.
Right.
So you have the attorney figures out how to put that in a way that the jury is going to understand. Like if you're doing a complex, like a good example, Enron is so complicated that if you brought in some like forensic accountant to explain Enron's books, nobody would understand what was going on. You need somebody to work with that expert to figure out how to craft that in a way that the average person is going to understand. So that's a certain type of writing, a certain way of writing, a certain way of writing where you can apply that to anything else, including astrology.
Got it. So perfect. So thank you for sharing your background a little bit about kind of where you came from and how you got into this. What I'm curious about, and I think what a lot of people are curious about, is just what the heck is astrology even good for? Like, how can we take away some of the, I want to say taboo almost, of astrology just being this random, super basic horoscope in a newspaper, because that's not what we're talking about, and it's definitely not what your magazine's about. But what are some of the uses of astrology, if you could maybe
Well,
touch
for one
on
thing,
that.
Self-knowledge. Self-knowledge, absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit so people know what we're talking about?
So, for instance, let's say when you ask somebody, what are your values? Mm-hmm. Most people really don't. They might... this is a list of my values. And then you look at their chart and you're like, that's not really what their values are. Or that's not really what their needs are. What people will think that their needs and values are and what they actually are is oftentimes different. So if I told you, if you asked me, well, what are, Matt, what are your needs? I'd say, or what are your values? I'm like, well, helping people. And I said, well, yeah, that's true. But my moon, my emotional needs is in Aries. So my real need is to be recognized. Okay. You might say, well, humor is my need or my value or something. I say, well, your moon is in Leo. Your moon is your need. So what you need more than anything is attention, adoration, to be seen, to be in public, to be, you know, sort of the stunning, the star of the show, right? That's your need. So it helps with that. So like I know when I'm looking at, say, my chart, for instance, I can get a more accurate read on my own psychology than I can from whatever I might just think up on myself.
This is interesting because I actually do a lot of work with values with my clients. And so yeah. I think that you and I probably use the term values and needs a little bit differently.
Yeah, we probably do.
But yeah. I think what I will say, though, is I remember when I met you. Can you believe it's been over 2 years?
Oh.
Isn't that crazy? It's wild, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's 2 years of your life.
I should get hazard pay.
Oh my gosh. You always say that about my parents. Like, did you guys get hazard pay when Jen was born?
And they always laugh and go, no, but we deserve it.
Yeah, whatever. But what's interesting is actually I remember when I met you and you were like, oh, let me do your chart. And you started telling me stuff. It actually significantly helped me with building my business because I was able to really, and actually in my relationships, because I said, okay, so this is what I'm really good at. Now it makes a little bit more sense. This is what I potentially need to stay away from a little bit.
Right.
This is more understanding of like what I need, especially like you mentioned with the Leo moon, the attention piece. Well, lo and behold, weird. I was a competitive public speaker and public speaking is one of my actual talents and favorite.
So
things
can
to
we,
do.
Can I talk about that real quickly?
Sure.
So Jen's an Aries, her son, that's the conscious identity. Her son is an Aries, competition, leadership, being the alpha. Her moon, her needs is in Leo, which is theater, being on stage, being seen, being adored. So that's her basic psychological architecture. And there's 144 of those combinations. And then, so you got basically 144 basic psychological types. And then there's a lot more than just that. There's Mars, which is how you fight. Venus, how you love. Saturn, where you work hard. Jupiter is where your fortune, you have good fortune. Neptune, where you're idealistic but prone to illusion. Uranus, which is where you're like a genius but also a crazy person. And Pluto, which is where you operate at the extremes. So you can get a real good read on your, like, if you want to know how somebody asserts themselves, you look at their Mars.
Interesting.
So like, look at Barack Obama. What's his Mars? He's a Leo. The superstar, right? Okay, the celebrity. His Mars, how he fights, is in Virgo, sign of precision. What's his weapons of choice? Weapons that offer the illusion of precision, like Predator drones and SEAL Team 6.
Mm.
Okay, Bush, his Mars was in Gemini, fighting through words. So he liked to fight through basically telling the people five or six different things at once.
Interesting. Okay.
And then I can say one something good about his Mars. I actually use his Mars in Gemini as a...
That's what mine is too, right?
Yeah. So fighting using words. Now, he is doing something now with soldiers who have PTSD where he's all about changing the phrase PTSD. So he's like gone on a nationwide speaking tour.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, if you hadn't hauled us off to war, I would be totally for this, you know. But what he's doing is actually a good example of Mars in Gemini. He's... Us fighting on behalf of returning veterans
about the language
around PTSD. You see, so
yeah.
So that now, if he hadn't been the person who was, you know, responsible for getting us into the wars, I would be totally think that this is great. But anyways, but you see what I'm getting at is
mm-hmm.
you always got the high and low, or the noble and the nefarious, or whatever you want to say. Mars and Virgo, Barack Obama's Mars, fighting for healthcare, and. Without going into whether I know like Obamacare is probably like the most controversial thing you could bring up next to like religion. But I think when he first got into office, he really did want to have universal health. I mean, he really did want to improve the healthcare system. And he has applied a lot of energy, which is the Mars function, to healthcare. Now, whether that's worked out, whether people like it or not, I'm not commenting. That's a whole other story. But you can see how that's expressed itself. So fighting through precision, which is Virgo, fighting via the healthcare system, which is also Virgo.
Cool.
Bill Clinton's Mars, he's a, what was he? He was a Leo also. His Mars was in Libra, fighting via relationships.
Oh, geez.
So you see? Fighting in marriage.
On that note, so I think that the thing that I want to drive home first, though, so is especially because I want to educate people a little bit about the basics around astrology, yeah. since that's what we're talking about, too, is what Matt talked about, the sun-moon combination and how there's 144 of them. That's actually something that if you were to learn, in my opinion, something additional besides just your sun sign, learn your moon sign, because that's where the emotional needs really come in. Yeah. And that has been exceptionally helpful in me with building my business, understanding myself. Taking care of myself.
People wonder, okay, the president's Mars signs, what does this have to do with me? Okay, so let me give you an example. So Jen's Mars is in Gemini. Now that hits a particular point in my chart where how she asserts herself, how she fights, how she applies physical energy is actually very fortunate for me because of the point that it hits in my chart. It makes a friendly contact to my North Node, which is my destiny, my best self, my path forward, whatnot. So I know when Jen is in, when Jen's fighting using words or asserting herself using language or interconnections, because Gemini's interconnections, cross-pollination, when she's doing that, that is good, that I benefit from that. You see? So if we're working together, I know that when Jen's in her Mars and Gemini space, I'm going to be better off. Good example, cover of this magazine. So this magazine I'm working on is me and two other people. Where did I meet those two people from? From Jen's radio show, okay? Either directly or indirectly.
He hustles one, my people.
One directly, one indirectly. But so her, where she, how she asserts herself, I could look at her chart and be like, okay, that's going to be good for me. Now, if it hit a different point in the chart, I might be like, ooh, we could have some problems here.
I think, and I'm following you, but I think we're getting a little bit advanced for some of the people that would probably listen to my show. But I think that what Matt's trying to say is that it's not just also one of the things that if you were to start getting deeper into astrology, you would start looking at how other people's charts potentially affect your own chart and so you, hit your points on your own chart. But that's a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, but so like for business, because my impression is a lot of your people you work with are business people. Mm-hmm. And they wonder, how can I use this to – it's a very competitive environment these days. Mm-hmm. How can I use this to help my business?
Exactly.
And so,
which I heard there might be an article about.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Weird. See now here's another thing. Well, let me give you, I'll try to keep the astrology talk to minimum, but I knew with this magazine, I said I should get Jen involved in some way because like her Mars and some of her other planets, where they sit in my chart and where they sit in the chart of the magazine based on its release date, because magazines have, everything has a chart, is going to activate those things in a very positive way, which has happened because like Sam, for instance, somebody who's helped a lot with the promotion of the magazine, he is in the magazine because Jen went to interview. So like literally you were doing a Mars and Gemini thing. You're fighting through words. I mean, not fighting with him, but you know, you were asserting yourself.
Yeah, that was super fun.
So now I'm trying to figure out of all the ways where I'm trying to think of some of the negative.
Can I say what our article's about?
Oh, yeah.
So Sam is – I can say
– Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Sam Reynolds is actually a very well-known astrologer. He lives based in New York, and Matt set me up with him, thankfully, because it was a great match, to interview him about how the – self-employed woman can use astrology to help with building her business. And it was definitely pretty darn neat and a lot of fun. And I'm excited for that to come out in Hexagon's first issue. And that's what we're going to start to talk about too. I do want to make sure though, that the thing we touch on before we completely transition out of some basics around astrology. So we talked about your sun moon combination, knowing those, because that takes it from 12 potential things you could be, right, to 144. And that's where it gets a lot more specific and a lot more detailed. But what I really wanted to emphasize is something that most Americans don't know. I'm going to be bold and say 99%, that when you're reading your horoscope, shouldn't you actually be reading your rising sign?
Yeah. So you have your sun, your conscious identity, your moon, your emotional needs, and you have your rising sign, which is your physical body, what you look like. And if you read those horoscopes, will be a lot more accurate if you read them for your rising sign.
And most people don't know their rising sign, so this is where you actually would need to either look up your chart or have an astrologer assist you, because
you can get it online. It's not that difficult.
Is there a website that you'd recommend?
You can go astro.com, alabe.com. Okay. Yeah, and it'll say, even for somebody who's totally new, the hieroglyphics, it can be intimidating, but you'll see where it'll say sun, moon, ascendant. So Jen here, her sun, so her conscious identity is in Aries leadership. Her moon, her needs, is in Leo theater. Her rising sign, though, is Taurus, the farm girl. So if I was going to cast her as in a movie, I'd cast her some sort of like Aries Leo is kind of like a superstar combination.
So the Superstar Farm Girl?
Yeah, Superstar Farm Down from like the farmer's daughter or something.
But it also with that, I think what that helps me with is people used to always say, wow, you seem so grounded. And I'm like, really? Because I feel so crazy, fiery, and wild. But I think that that Taurus rising is really something that helps me stay grounded into just like what I am, what I'm about, yeah. Practical.
The rising's your, if you ever hear that Chris Rock shtick about when you meet somebody, you meet the representative.
Mm.
Yeah, he's got a whole comedy routine about when you meet somebody, you're not meeting the real them, you're meeting their representative. Your rising's your representative.
Oh.
Yeah, so you meet the rising right away.
So I have a farm girl representing my crazy.
Yeah,
wild.
Pretty much.
Theatrical leader?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hmm. Interesting. I could really trick some people.
Possibly. Because you could dress up as a cowgirl and totally pull it off.
Oh, yeah. No.
See, I couldn't pull that off.
No, you would not look good as a cowgirl.
As a cowboy. Definitely not as a cowgirl.
Okay, cool. So that's what I wanted. Those are the two things I want to make sure to emphasize a little bit for people. And also just understanding that astrology has, I mean, it's kind of a, it's a, art and a science, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this has been around
also
forever.
If you guys knew the people who consult with astrologers, you'd be amazed.
Yeah, why don't you actually go ahead as we transition, why don't you mention a few of the people that have had astrologers
that have been public about it. I know the Reagans regularly consulted with astrologers. That was actually on the cover of Time magazine back in the 80s when that information got out. The astrologer they consulted with, Joan Quigley, she was an Aries like Jen, with a Leo moon, like Jen, Mars in Gemini, like Jen, with Venus in Pisces, like Jen. Like
oh,
four,
weird. I didn't know you guys.
Yeah, I actually showed that to somebody. I was like, hey, the gal that was doing the interview with Sam, you know, she's got like five planets in common with Joan Quigley, and Joan Quigley just passed away.
Mm.
Joan Quigley, by the way, helped us not have World War III. Because she looked at Gorbachev's chart and then told Ronald Reagan to cool it. Said, hey, you can actually talk with Gorbachev and work this stuff out diplomatically. So cool it with all the evil empire, Star Wars talk, all the talk about winning a, you know, the idea was we could win a nuclear war, right? So she told him to cool it with all that. Now, there were probably, obviously, she's not the only people who's talking in the president's ear. I think she actually would talk to Nancy and then Nancy would talk to him. But the point is, an astrologer actually did have some role in averting World War III.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any other famous people?
Well, J.P. Morgan has same. Oh. Billionaires. Millionaires don't use astrology, but billionaires sure do.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I have to think, you have to give me a minute. I know there are other well-known, well-respected people who have consulted astrology.
To you, you can share
but
that.
I have to think, I'm like, wait, is this because I found this out via the grapevine or has this been in a magazine
right,
or something?
Right.
It has to have been in a magazine.
Got it.
But I can tell you that there's a lot of people high up in the business and tech world who consult astrologers.
Yeah. So. Well, why don't we actually go ahead and transition into talking a little bit about what inspired you to create Hexagon? Because right now there's a Kickstarter going on for it. It goes till June 1st. Is that right?
Yes. 10 days. 10 yeah. more days.
Oh, my gosh. We're down to 10 days. And if you go to Kickstarter and just search Hexagon, you can see more about what's going on with that. There's also links from my website on the radio tab, jenjulius.com. I'm assuming there's links from northbayastrology.com.
I've got everything.
So it's interesting. He's got a great little video if you want to watch that after this show.
I look like a Republican, though. No offense.
It is interesting.
To the Republicans.
And there's also some neat little prizes that are coming along. Not prizes, but like perks. Gifts or perks or whatever.
Yeah.
But,
so we have one major magazine, and it's great. The Mountain Astrologers are awesome.
Astrologers, do you mean? Like to represent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, actually, there's a couple others, but the one that I'm...
The big one
that I've had the most contact with is TMA. And TMA is great.
And
I have tons
TMA
of...
TMA is the Mountain Astrologer. That's what he's talking about.
So we have, you know, we don't have a... It's not like sports where you've got how many different sports magazines?
Right.
Like dozens. You know, we have one and a couple others. And they're very, very, very good. I have old issues back even from the 90s in my garage.
Wow.
And if somebody tried to take those from me, I'd go Charlton Heston on them. You know, take my astrology magazines from my cold dead fingers.
Okay. So what inspired you to create
Hexagon? I was like, well, I think there's room for something. I think there's room for something different and something a little newer. I don't think there's been a new astrology magazine in about 30 years.
Wow.
And times are very different today than 30 years ago.
Some
for the better, some for the worse. You know, I'm agnostic on whether the internet has helped us or hurt us.
Mm.
I used to think it just helped, like more information. Now, particularly in the astrology world, it's actually difficult to find the legitimate sites.
Yes.
Because it's been so flooded with crap.
Funny you say that, because one thing that I'm struggling with a lot right now is finding a reliable chart for the moon being void. Because I looked at four sites that all said something different.
You and I will have to explain to you.
But that's just something I want to give as an example that when I try to figure that out, literally every site I found said something different.
Yeah. So there's a guy, Frederick Woodruff is his name, an astrologer, and he came up with the phrase. He said, look, we've entered the dark age of internet astrology. And I kind of agree with that. So because it's been flooded, it's almost like the bad has flooded out the good, which happens in a lot of different ecosystems.
Well, so, I think that it also has kind of a – astrology has kind of a like reputation in some ways for the mass population.
Yeah. So what I – with this magazine, now people can't see it, but it looks like – it looks very different than anything you would normally associate with astrology. It looks like a combination of like it's from the future, but it's also like highly professional. And I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback about what it looks like. So I thought, well, if we present it in a little more contemporary fashion, I think that'll help. There's also just, like I said, there's a lot of talent out there, but there's only a couple outlets. So I think there's enough talent out there that it's time for another outlet. You're going to laugh at this, kind of like back in the 90s. When you had WCW and WWF wrestling, you know, you had enough talent that you could support two or three different companies, you know. So I think there's room for another one, hopefully. And
what inspired you, though, for the content in this one?
Well, you know, there's perspectives that are not frequently recognized in the astrology world, like any other ecosystem. You know, we tend to duplicate ourselves, you know, keep doing this, you know, having the same perspectives over and over again. So like, for instance, we have a whole article on hip hop, and you very rarely see hip hop represented in astrology, and you rarely see astrology explained via hip hop or hip hop explained via astrology. So we have an article on that. And actually the guy who wrote that, Jason Fleming, AKA Sagittarian Mind, he's got another article. This, the one that is in this issue, is just kind of a beginner's article. It's just a sun sign article, like, you know, songs for your sign. So like Aries, one of the songs is Follow the Leader by Eric B. and Rakim, who Jen didn't know who Eric B. and Rakim were. Anyway, never mind. Eric B. and Rakim were big in the 80s.
Okay.
Okay. So that's basically just like a sun sign article, but he's got one on the astrology of hip hop, based on when hip hop first started, which was a party that was thrown in the Bronx back in, I think, 1974. It's a Leo sign of entertainment with the moon in Capricorn, sign of business, literally translated as entertainment business. So that's going to be most likely in the second issue. So that's something that, you know, you don't normally see that type of stuff in most new age spiritual astrology type, you know, type publications. That we have an article on the feminine asteroids, which is something. So you've got your sun, moon, Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, et cetera, but you also have these asteroids that are more associated with female archetypes, but they don't really get represented that much because most astrology textbooks are written by men. So for the last 100 years. So a lot of some of the feminine stuff doesn't get the same representation. Then we have my article on the National Security Agency. Now, originally that was published in the Mountain Astrologer. Strange story behind that. I sent that article to them, it turned out, the same day Ed Snowden sent his stuff to Glenn Greenwald at the UK Guardian. And we found that out.
Why don't you go ahead and clarify who that is?
Okay, so for folks who, if you've been too busy getting your baller on, right, and I understand it is, we're in a very competitive times these days. So if you like Jen are getting your baller on 24/7. You're getting your baller on 24/7.
It's a hard life.
You may not have time to pay attention to current events. It's just a matter of people only have so much time per day. Mm-hmm. Right. So what happened about 2 years ago, turns out there's this government agency called National Security Agency.
NSA.
NSA. Now, if you ever see Enemy of the State with Will Smith, that can give you a nice entertaining primer to the NSA. Well, when that film came out in the 90s, everybody thought it was like a crazy conspiracy theory. What we found out 2 years ago, thanks to this young guy named Ed Snowden, is all the stuff you saw in Enemy of the State 20 years ago has all turned out to be true. Everything's being recorded. not just recorded, but cataloged, and then psychological profiles being constructed on people in mass. I mean, it's really, really disturbing stuff.
I kind of just want to honor that too for a second, because this, as we already mentioned earlier in the show, this is not something that I typically talk about on my show. And so I do want to just honor, like, what you're listening to and what you're going to be listening to for potentially the next 10 to 20 minutes is, has the potential to be fairly triggering. So just make sure that you take some deep breaths, and you let, if you start to get worked up, you know, go ahead and just take a seat, do some breathing, put your feet on the floor, because this is triggering stuff and scary stuff that a lot of people don't recognize as are actually happening. And it's not just crazy wild Matt talking about this, going off on a tangent, some wild astrologer that's crazy. This is real stuff that you can find out about, and you can Google if you want. This is all real stuff.
So what happened 2 years ago, Ed Snowden was a worked for the NSA. He was a high up in the working with the computer security. I forget exactly what his title was. But he leaked, walked out of the NSA with like flash drives full of all their secrets. And that it all went out to the, contacted a couple different journalists, including Glenn Greenwald at the UK Guardian, who he felt would be receptive to this information. And then in the first week of June of 2013, this all went public. And so all the crazy conspiracy theories turned out to be true. And I don't know that anything's necessarily, it's been 2 years now, not anything has changed. But how this ties into astrology is, I had already written an article in the NSA based on using their establishment date as their date of birth. They're Scorpio. Scorpio's a secret agent. Their moon, their needs, is in Gemini, communication. So it's literally like the secret agent of communication. And so I did, had a brief article on that on my site, and then sent a version of that to TMA back in like March or April, spring, late winter, early spring, sometime around there of 2013. And then right as they were getting ready to review it was when Ed Snowden went public. So the timing was just absolutely perfect. And so that was that article, a revised version of that with a lot of imagery that was not available 2 years ago is in the first issue of Hexagon. And that's actually the first part of a three-part series on the surveillance state. So we've got the NSA, which is in this issue. Then you have their sister agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, who runs all the spy satellites. And they have a lot of very, very interesting mission patches that are filled with like occult, including astrological imagery. And so that's the second issue. And then the third issue is on the Central Intelligence Agency. CIA is a Virgo analyst with their moon in Scorpio, secrets. So they analyze secrets. Same sun, moon as the show Mission Impossible, if you ever seen that show. So that is that part. Then we've got Jason's hip hop articles, which is a little lighter, but there's a political
a little lighter.
Yeah. You got like, look, who do we have here? See, this is what I haven't been able to show on camera because we licensed the photographs. But the licenses are only for print, but you can see Q-Tip. Here's the Aries, right? I think we're going to have, who is it? Jill Scott?
50 Cent.
50 Cent's a Cancer. Now, here's a great example of Cancer, right? Cancers are represented by the crab, right? With a hard shell. What's 50 Cent wear around town? A bulletproof vest.
Oh.
And his moon is in Gemini, communication.
Does he really?
Yeah. Hmm. It's a Cancer, Sun, Gemini, moon. Anyways, so we got Ice Cube there, Gemini.
Are a lot of rappers Geminis?
I don't
potentially.
Yeah. I mean, Ice Cube is.
Or do they have their Mars in Gemini potentially? A lot of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't. You know what? Somebody could do a statistical analysis.
That'd be interesting.
Of like, if you would have to figure out how to do that,
especially
like,
battle rappers.
Like yourself, because
actually, people that know me well have heard me freestyle, and I can get down.
Yeah, well, I said I told you because you have Mars and Gemini right there on the ascendant, so I wouldn't box with Jed.
No,
I'd be sneakier because I'm a Cancer. But anyways, the point is with the magazine, so that you got there's different. It's just like in a any type of, you know, you need different types of music or different tones. So like my articles are very serious and involve a lot of information that can be very disturbing. Then we have stuff like Confessions of a Virgo Pilates Instructor, which is much lighter and more humorous.
Got it.
Okay, we have Jen's article, Astrology for Self-Employed Women. And I put that, now astrology for self-employed men is not any different than it is for women, but most people who avail themselves to astrological counsel tend to be women. Mm-hmm. And if you're self-employed and you're a woman, you're kind of, it's still kind of a boys club out there. I mean, it's not like it's not like the Mad Men days, but you still need a little bit of an extra edge. And I'm always sympathetic to people who, you know, who the who have kind of like a, what do you call it? Like a, not the underdog, but like they got a little bit more of an uphill battle than everybody else.
I think,
right?
That's no, and I think that that's one of the things I know the most about you is that one of your, I mean, some of your biggest passions are trying to again the other side of the story, but really representing people that are maybe underserved or underrecognized. And recognizing women's rights and recognizing, you know, that racism is unfortunately still very alive in our culture. And I think that that's actually an area that I think of you a lot with.
Yeah, we have a one on the Black Lives Matter movement based on when they started that. It's a Cancer with Virgo Moon. So Cancer, sign of women. Most of the leadership of that movement are women. Mm. Virgo, need for Virgo Moon, need for service. So the women who are serving their kinfolk. What else? The Virgo apply. There's a few other things we... So beauty at any age. Saturn and Scorpio and beauty at any age. This is a... Another thing that is underrepresented is there's a lot of stuff floating out there, and it seems to pervade like the New Age world too, which is all about like how to be young, how to be beautiful, how to get a man. Like that's the only thing that matters. So we have an article that kind of just blows that all apart. what else? And then the forecast section. So we are going to have... which is still being written. That's why it's got this filler text there. Mm-hmm. But the forecast section, now people who are more like professional astrologers might be like, why would you have sun sign forecasts? Sun sign forecasts are the bane of our existence. Like that just makes people think that it's only the sun sign. And I'm like, well, first of all, most of us who've gotten into astrology started by reading a sun sign horoscope that at least resonated enough that we thought, oh, maybe there's something to this.
But hold on. We just contradicted that by saying you should be reading your rising sign for your horoscope.
Right. Right.
So what are you, is this actually written for your sun sign?
Well, no, it's written for the ascendant, but you have to make a business decision when it comes to stuff like that. The average person
does not know
that. And there is going to be a disclaimer, read this for your ascendant. But like, let's say I send three copies of this to a local acupuncture doctor's office. The person who picks that up may be the one to know about the astrology of the NSA. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they want to know about the feminine asteroids. Maybe not. But if they have even a medium level of interest in astrology and they see an astrology magazine, they're going to read the forecast section.
Got it.
Even those of us who are professional astrologers still look at, I read them for my ascendant, but I still read Astrology Zone mm-hmm. and other various astrology mm-hmm. sites. So it's like some professional astrologers might be, well, why would you include sun sign stuff or, you know, ascendant sign stuff? And I'm like, because the average person, that still is going to get them into the magazine, right? And if it's written, when you read your, quote, monthly horoscope, if you still get some value out of it if you read it for your sun sign. It's going to work better if you read it for your ascendant. So I think it was Jessica Adams. She made the point that people who get hardcore into astrology, it's usually that is their first entry. As limiting as it is, sun sign astrology is the person's first exposure to it. So if it's done right, and it's written in a compelling fashion, they're more likely to get deeper into it. You know, they're more, you know. So that's why we have the forecasts in there. And also they're written by a gal who goes by the name Madame Zulonga, and she's very intelligent, also very witty. Like cool. She's kind of got a sense of humor about herself and whatnot. I mean, so she's good at what she does, but she pairs it with humor, which always helps.
So Matt, what's your bigger mission with this magazine? Because right now with the Kickstarter going on, I mean, to be really blunt, we still have to make sure it gets funded before anything crazy happens. But what's your bigger mission so people kind of understand what do you want to create?
The most bad astrology magazine on the planet. No, like a, you know, magazine that provides, like I said, the other side of the story.
And that's not afraid to go there.
Right, exactly. Oh, and then we have Mike Luton's doing the article. I haven't seen it yet. This is not in the prototype, but it's going to be in the final product called The Capricorn Conspiracy. Mm. So Mike Luton's very, very well known amongst those of us who are astrologers. Your folks may not know who he is, but he's he's like a legend amongst us.
Cool.
So what all of these articles have in common, though, you might think at first, like the Jen's article about self-employed women and the NSA article don't have anything in common. To me, they actually do. And then both of those, you're looking at the other side. So we don't really acknowledge that, hey, if you're a woman and you're self-employed, you got an uphill battle. Like, you're not, that's just not like that's supposed to be talked about. No, no, no. Mm. So that's not really, doesn't really get acknowledged or talked about. The stuff about the NSA doesn't really get acknowledged or talked about. The stuff about beauty at any age, you know, about the limitations, including a lot of the limitations of stuff in the new that is supposed to be like, quote, spiritual, but it's all about like how to revert, how to take 20 years off your skin or whatever, mm-hmm. using visualization. That's great. Don't get me wrong. But then that's just kind of reinforcing the idea that, oh, you need to be young.
Right.
You know, so this is all these things, what they all have in common is they're representing a side to the story or stories that isn't getting addressed.
Isn't getting represented. So let me ask you this. Does it ever make you a little bit scared to like be putting out there some potentially really controversial
maybe
topics and articles?
I tell you what, after that NSA article with Team A, I did have emails go missing. That was very strange, where a person would send me an email pertaining to the article. They'd be like, yeah, we sent it. I said, haven't gotten it. I would check my trash. They would check their trash. And I never had that happen before. Now, I have to think, though, again, I'm like, I can't imagine the powers that be would be interested in me. I mean, mm-hmm. We're an astrology magazine with a tiny, tiny circle. I mean, tiny even by the world of astrology. Okay.
Sure.
So, like, I have to be so low on the food chain. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I, you know.
Well, I think
now, if I get home and there's a black van parked out in front of my house with, like, some weird dudes, yeah, then I'll be nervous, but.
I think what I've noticed about you, though, is that you don't have a lot of fear around that. You're more interested in just making sure you're representing what you want to represent.
Yeah, and I also think that I think there's a lot. Like I said, I just don't think I'm high enough up on the food chain to matter.
Aww.
Well, I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Aww.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I was like, you know, you got to be.
Realistically, yeah.
There's a long, you know, in America, you are allowed to, you have free speech because unless you have a huge platform, your speech is not, it might make a little.
It doesn't matter.
It matters, but yeah. It's not like it's going to shift the, you know, it's not like it's going to, it's unlikely to shift things in a statistically significant way from the perspective of the powers that be, whoever the powers that be are. I don't know who they are.
Got it.
Around here, the powers that be are Jen Julius.
That's right. That's right. So where are people going to be able to potentially purchase this magazine? When does it come out? How
okay.
do we make sure all
so,
this happens?
Okay, well, we're getting a little far ahead.
Sorry.
In August.
Okay,
but,
so
well,
we are.
Some
well,
of that's going to depend on how many copies we print up. It
got
depends
it.
On how the Kickstarter goes and all that type of stuff. So in West County, what I'm going to do.
West County, which is in California.
Yeah, out here in West County. One of the plans
Sonoma
is
County,
anything like any anything involved in alternative health, any whether it's yoga studio, Pilates studio, acupuncture studio. Places like the Deanna Center, like they'll probably get three copies. All these type of places are going to get free copies and a media kit.
Cool.
And then we'll sell some, you know, because it's a new magazine, you have to give out a lot of copies for free. If we can sell like 1,000, I'd be thrilled.
Great.
So.
Will people also, like, will they be able to, I don't know, buy it online?
Yeah.
Or
well, we
read
have
it
for,
online.
Yeah.
Or?
Probably not read it.
Okay.
I think we're going to keep that on print.
Got it.
I'm debating whether we should have a digital edition or not. Part of the challenge with that is also since this is brand new, licensing the photographs, it's different licenses, and you got to pay more money to have them for both online and in print.
Got it.
But and one of the things I want to make the magazine look nice, so we license nice photographs.
Got it.
You know, but we're going to have a e-commerce site and all that. All that stuff is still in the works.
Got it.
Getting a print magazine done was really
a lot of work.
Yeah,
so
that's why I've lost so much weight. No, for real, that's part of it. Somebody asked Matt, you lost so much weight.
We need to take care of ourselves.
No, you're absolutely right. When mm-hmm. when this thing's done, I am redoubling my self-care efforts. I've
get you back on track.
Yeah, but I somebody asked, well, Matt, you lost a lot of weight, like have you been working out more? And I was like, well, sort of. I've also just been eating less and worrying more.
Gosh, which I do not recommend as a weight loss regimen, people. So don't listen to him.
Jen, should I sign up with you for like a for fitness? You don't do
do
fitness coaching,
no,
but you could do
no,
like
uh-uh.
I mean, you don't like do personal training, but
it's funny actually. I almost that's what I was going to do when I was younger, and then I decided not to, and now I'm and said, what I really focus on is helping people figure out like what form of exercise or what type of activity would be best for them. Because what I'm more about is helping people understand how to create really authentic work-life balance by understanding who they are inside and outside.
Because I've totally, the work-life balance has really gone out the window the last few months for me.
It's a good way to burn out and screw stuff up.
Yeah. And I'm trying to, I will want to avoid that. What would your recommendations for me be?
I think that we'd have to talk a little bit more, because what I'm really passionate about is helping people understand, okay, this is what I love and that's okay. I always make the joke, I'm not going to tell someone to be vegan and do Bikram yoga 7 days a week, because that is not the path to health for everyone. And you have to be able to figure out what vibes with you, whether it's running, whether it's boxing, whether it's yoga, whatever, it doesn't matter. It has to resonate and vibe with you, or else you're not going to do it. And there's going to be this constant resistance and battle. So it's more important to really honor yourself and say, you know what, this is right for me and I can honor that. Just like now that I'm adopting a little bit of astrology, okay, cool. That's one of the avenues that I can incorporate because it feels right for me with my business. Just like some of my self-care has a lot to do with walking, hiking, weightlifting, not running or, you know, ballet. Those are very Jen Julius. Right?
I can't see you boxing. No, I can't see you doing ballet.
I actually
ballet.
Like kickboxing. But so it's more about just helping people get tuned in and understand like, what do I need on a really deep, authentic level so I can do those things, honor myself, and therefore create better health and happiness than I've ever experienced.
Right.
So a lot of that just has to do with a lot of personal
self-discovery. I need to get back into yoga and Pilates. I did heavy,
if that's what you're into, for sure.
Heavy weights for my whole life. And you can, if you're not careful, you burn your adrenals out, which is what I did.
And especially if it's something that's not potentially tapped into what you're really passionate about and vibe with you and your body. You know, that's other things.
Well,
people
Yeah, the challenge is sometimes your body won't, your body
won't allow
like
you
that.
To get too crazy for too long.
Yeah, your body's like, you might want to do X, but your body's like, son, that is not, son.
Not happening. Just like me and running. So as we start to wrap
up. So you
up,
can't run, you have a challenge with running?
I kind of. I don't like it, first of all, but I also was born with hip dysplasia. And so supposedly it was fully corrected when I was a baby, but it's still, I've noticed that a few of my ongoing issues a little bit are in my hips. And
well, I didn't know that. But remember we talked about Saturn is structure and where you're restricted. Mm-hmm. Well, in medical astrology, Sagittarius is the hips.
Oh, how interesting.
So remember, didn't I tell you when we had, I think Carrie was on and I was saying we're going to do heart chakra stuff. I was like, well, I got Saturn and Leo and I should probably do this. And you're like, of course you've got, you were like making fun of me.
I do that a lot. Sorry. Yeah.
But I was like, Saturn is where you're physically restricted and Leo is the chest area. This is always the area like in yoga where stuff with like the hips and the legs, I could actually do like more than you would expect. Like I'd be more like, I just could get in the positions, not like an advanced person, but more advanced than what you would think from somebody who's relatively new. And then, but the stuff with the upper body, I would have a lot of trouble with.
Totally.
And but I got Saturn and Leo. You have Saturn and Sag, so the restrictions are more likely to be in the hips.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See this? And now, sorry, we got a little bit complex.
I don't do medical astrology. Like, I'll talk about it like that. I don't do, like, hardcore medical astrology.
There's a lot of different components to astrology that I think, again, people don't recognize. And that's why I wanted to talk about the magazine, too, and how it's talking about a lot of things that are not typical to astrology. So as we're wrapping up, I want to make sure to give people some information about how they can find out more info. Like I said, that if you just simply go to Kickstarter.com and look for Hexagon, that's where you can actually see the little video that Matt did talking about the magazine, as well as a pretty thorough description about where, you know, why it's being created, what's in it. Pretty darn neat, as well as a lot of information about the things that come with it if you were to choose to be a backer. And congratulations, you are over 50% of your goal. That's
a great accomplishment. Yeah, that is it. It's definitely.
So super, super exciting. And I'm just really excited to share that with people, because I think that we're in a time where we have so much opportunity to support what we believe in. And that's where I obviously, even though me and you argue pretty much nonstop when we're around each other, I still am a big supporter and fan of yours, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'm a supporter and fan of you, too.
I know. And so that's why I wanted
that's
to
why
have
I trusted
you
with three pages in the magazine.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And then I just wanted to let people know that opportunity is there if you just want to check it out, or if you are kind of intrigued by some of the topics that we shared today. If you're listening to this recording and if it's after June 1st, 2015, then it won't be as relevant to go on the Kickstarter page, but you could definitely probably still stay updated about what's going on with the magazine at what is
North Bay? For now, just go North Bay Astrology.
NorthBayAstrology.com. Yeah. So is there anything that you want to kind of, I always ask people this as I'm wrapping up my show. Is there anything that you would shout out to the world if you could only say one big thing?
No, I don't know.
Oh, no, no, nothing that represents like what you stand for. What
you you know what? Holla at Jen Julius. That's what I say. You know what's good for you? You holla at Jen Julius.
Oh my gosh. Get
life coaching.
Oh, which is actually, I wanted to say one neat thing that, one neat thing that's happening too on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, do you have a business page?
I just started one. I think after
you started an event. Did you start a business
page? No, I just started a business page. Yeah, after you harangued me about it.
Oh, okay. So what's the business page?
I think you go to Hexagon Astrology, but I haven't done much with it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, there's that. But what Matt's also doing is for people that are backing the magazine, he's doing a fun little sun moon shout out.
So I'm doing Jen's tomorrow.
Mine's coming out tomorrow because I was a backer, but
Jen's
making
me
fun.
She's making me.
I told her to make
her,
it nice.
I am going to make
nice
it nice
to me.
But she's making me, she says she's got to sign off on it.
Yeah, I have to approve whatever he says about me because half the time he says really mean things.
I don't say mean things.
You don't
say,
think they're mean, but they're mean.
No, they're not.
They're kind of mean.
What? Like what?
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I always try to make you look good, dude.
Oh, thanks, Matt. So where can people find out more information about you,
Just NorthBayAstrology.com.
Okay, great. And anything else that you want to say before we close up?
No, that's pretty much it. Like I said, just holla at Jen Julius.
Oh,
Jen Julius. JJ.
That's what you have to say?
Yeah, you know, your name sounds like Orange Julius, if you think about it. Like, either, like, because you would go to Orange Julius to be inspired by the...
Right.
By the juices. Right?
That's so where people go to be inspired, apparently, is Orange Julius. That's Matt's final
words.
It's
like, it's uplifting.
Go to Orange Julius.
It's uplifting. Inspired. It's exciting, you know.
Whatever. Thanks, Matt. All right. Thanks. So with that.
Are you going to stick around so we can engage in verbal combat?
Potentially.
Okay.
So anyways, thank you for being on the show. I hope you had a good time.
I did.
And thank you for listening to Information and Inspiration with Jen Julius. For more information about me and to check out some of my previously recorded shows, you can go to jenjulius.com or like me on Facebook at facebook.com/jenjuliuscoaching. Thank you again so much for listening. Take care.